At the Pentagon this morning, Brigadier General Thomas Hartman announced plans to try six Guantanamo Bay detainees for their part in what he described as a long-term, highly sophisticated, organized plan by al-Qaeda to attack the United States of America.
Now that sworn charges have been received, the convening authority will review the charges and supporting evidence to determine whether probable cause exists to refer the case to trial by military commission. The chief prosecutor has requested that the charges be tried jointly and that they be referred as capital for each defendant. If the convening authority, Mrs. Susan Crawford, in her sole discretion, decides to refer the cases as capital, the defendants will face the possibility of being sentenced to death. Each of the defendants is charged under the Military Commission Act with the crime of conspiracy and with the separate substantive offenses of murder in violation of the law of war, attacking civilians, attacking civilian objects, intentionally causing serious bodily injury, destruction of property in violation of the law of war, terrorism, and material support to terrorism.
Brigadier General Thomas Hartman, legal advisor to the Commission System, speaking this morning at the Pentagon. These would be the first trials of their kind to be heard in the new and controversial Military Commission System. Among those charged is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the former al-Qaeda operations chief and confessed mastermind of the attacks. Last week, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency acknowledged that Mohammed was waterboarded during interrogation, a technique of controlled drowning that many regard as torture. He and others were also held for long periods in secret CIA camps before being sent to Guantanamo Bay. If you have questions about how the trial will be conducted or how the evidence will be presented, what's acceptable, what isn't, all those things, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now is Beth Hillman, visiting professor at the University of California Hastings College of the Law and a member of the Board of Directors of the National Institute for Military Justice. She joins us from member station KQED, our member station in San Francisco. Nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Good to be here, Neil.
And what do we know about these men?
Well, these are some of the high-value detainees, some of whom were transferred to Guantanamo Bay in September of 2006. So these are not your garden variety folks who are being held, nor the folks who have already been investigated for potential commissions. These are the high-profile, top-notch, the folks that the U.S. government most wants to punish through these commissions.
And is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed the only one who's the government has acknowledged has been waterboarded?
I think that that's right, although there is one other person who it seems pretty clear, according to what defense counsel have said, was also subjected to coercive interrogation techniques that certainly could constitute torture under some standards. So it's probably more than just his case that will bring up that issue of coerced testimony and the admissibility of that kind of evidence.
And all of them have been held either in secret prisons or at Guantanamo Bay for many years, sometimes without access to attorneys. If this were a civilian proceeding, this would be thrown out of court right away, wouldn't it?
This is so different from a civilian proceeding. We really have no parallels for it. And as you introduced the show today, I thought one of the questions about how this will go and what sort of evidence will be admitted, we really can't answer that very well. Really, nobody can answer that. We've never had one of these commissions. We have this one, the Hicks case, where we had a guilty plea, which had as much to do with politics as more to do with politics than any kind of criminal procedure. So this is a new set of criminal procedures that we're going forward that we really don't have any parallels for.
We just heard the general mention of Susan Crawford, the convening authority. Who is she and what is her authority?
Right. That term convening authority comes from the court-martial system, which the government specifically decided not to use here. So she's the person in charge of deciding whether or not the prosecution should go forward. And that's why General Hartman this morning kept saying that now it's up to to Judge Crawford to decide what to do next. She was for 15 years a judge on the Court of Appeals for the Armed Forces, which is the highest court, in the military court-martial system in the United States. So she's an experienced military judge, experienced with appellate review. She also will have the responsibility to review the proceedings after the fact. If there is a conviction, she'll review the sentence and make a decision on that before any other appellate review goes forward.
And does she appoint who assigns the judges, the attorneys, that sort of thing?
Well, she is in charge of deciding whether or not charges go forward, and then the rules are promulgated by the Secretary of Defense, and the folks who are on the actual trial, who are the equivalent of a jury, who will make the decision about whether or not the accused are guilty or innocent and what their sentence will be. They will be chosen the same way that court-martial panel members are chosen, which is not by any kind of random selection, but by virtue of their age, experience, judicial temperament. They will be military officers according to the Military Commissions Act. So she is a part of identifying the persons who are eligible to serve as the triers of fact.
And triers of fact, they're sort of a combination of judge and jury.
Right, although there are military judges as well, and we've had many rulings actually from military judges, including some questioning whether or not those subjected to the initial stages of hearings and investigation and prosecution under these commissions, whether or not those folks are actually correctly charged and subject to these commissions. And that has to do with the continuing issue in these cases of the jurisdiction of the commission and that unlawful enemy combatant designation. Have the persons to be charged been determined to be unlawful enemy combatants in a way that comports with international law? And many suggest not, because of the deficiencies of the combatant status review tribunals, the hearings that were held to make that determination.
And then there's the question of do the defendants have a chance to pick their own lawyers? Do they have a chance to be in the courtroom to confront their accusers?
Right. As General Hartman pointed out today, he said in no uncertain terms that the defendants would have a chance to confront the witnesses against them, that they would be able to see the evidence, that it would be an open proceeding in terms of the defendants themselves being able to see everything. We have not seen that openness in the pretrial process, so I think defense counsel would be justifiably suspicious about whether or not that would happen as the trial part of this moves ahead.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, in fact, some of the tapes of his confession were released today, but also he's confessed to being the mastermind. But again, any defense lawyer would say, Your Honor, this was coerced. This man was tortured.
That's right. The admissibility of those kinds of confessions or statements or, you know, claims, perhaps hyperbolic of responsibility, those are going to be critical in this. You know, the primary charge here really is conspiracy and solicitation to commit all these horrible crimes. They aren't alleged that question of whether conspiracy really is a war crime is another part of what the defense lawyers will challenge. Not only the admissibility of that evidence, but whether or not conspiracy can actually be tried before a military commission.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. Again, our guest is Beth Hillman, a visiting professor at the University of California, Hastings College of the Law, and she is a member of the board of directors of the National Institute for Military Justice. Let's begin with Ronnie. Ronnie calling us from Vineland in New Jersey.
Hi. What evidence can you admit that they're being charged for?
What evidence is there that they committed the crimes other than their own statements?
Right. Well, it's tough to know the sources of information from the charge sheet that we have. So I don't know that we can answer that very completely. But there is in the charge sheet many, many pages of information that is clearly gleaned from informants. The testimony of the persons who have been interrogated at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere since the time of their capture, there is actually reference in the charge sheet to information from as early as 1996, which is before we had any sense of a military commission that would prosecute these sorts of offenses, and certainly before we had any rules. One of the problems here is we didn't have any rules until we had persons to charge, and we didn't have any crimes until we had the Military Commissions Act here, which articulates 28 different crimes, and conspiracy is the very last one of those to be articulated. So it's just as the crimes are a little uncertain, the evidence itself and what will come before the court here is not entirely clear either.
Ronnie, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks.
Let's go now to Donnie, and Donnie's with us from Springlight in Michigan.
Hello?
Hi, Donnie. You're on the air.
Hello. I was wondering if your guest believes that there's going to be any decision other than guilty in this proceeding, because it seems like a kangaroo court to me. Excuse me, I just ran up the stairs.
That's okay.
Your impression of this as a kangaroo court is one shared by many. It's being being fought by the military officers who are part of this. For instance, General Hartman, who is an experienced judge advocate who has been appointed to be legal advisor to Susan Crawford, the convening authority, he's been very clear that this will follow the rules that have been established and that there is no determination yet that these defendants do have the same presumption of innocence until proven guilty and that the burden of proof is beyond a reasonable doubt. That said, there has been a lot of criticism of the tribunals, even from those who have been involved in the prosecution, most notably Colonel Morris Davis, who was an Air Force judge advocate who was the chief prosecutor in the Office of Military Commissions. After his resignation, he complained of the politicization of the process, and he specifically was concerned that the convening authority and the prosecutor's office were too intermingled, that there wasn't a distinction between the decisions to be made by prosecutors and the convening authority's role in the process. He thought it was too secret. He thought that the command structure made the office of the chief prosecutor no longer independent. He really thought that civilian officials were driving the process rather than the military officers, who he thought should have control and direction over this.
Thanks for the call, Donnie, and get your exercise in another way next time, okay?
I will do that. Thank
okay, you. Bye-bye. We're talking about the Pentagon's plans to try six men being held at Guantanamo Bay for capital crimes for the 9/11 attacks. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go now to Nick, and Nick's calling us from Camp Lejeune. Nick, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just had a real quick question in regard to if individuals are convicted and sentenced to death. What is the military typically do as far as the death penalty? I don't believe Leavenworth has an electric chair, do they? Is it by firing squad? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, thanks for the question, Nick. We're a long way from there, but in the event, after many, there are trials and convictions and appeals and upheld and all of that, what kind of death penalty would be inflicted?
I think this is a very relevant question, given the fact that the last time that we had anything sort of similar to this was in World War II, when President Roosevelt definitely wanted the Nazi saboteurs who had been captured in the United States to be executed. And that's the reason he established a military commission, so that he could execute them rather than subject them to a federal criminal trial where death wouldn't be an option. So the fact that death is on the table here has a lot to do with why we're having a military commission at all. The military's mode of execution is lethal injection, and actually the court-martial system recently promulgated new rules, apparently in anticipation of another execution, of the first execution in many years happening before too long. There are currently six soldiers who are actually on death row in the U.S. Armed Forces after the court-martial process convicted and sentenced them to death. But no one has been executed in the United States since 1961, when a Private Bennett was executed by the Army, and he was hanged. We haven't had any practice in this regard in the military system for a long time.
And that's the presumption that they're found guilty. If they're found not guilty, or if the charges are thrown out for any reason, does that mean they get out?
That's a good question. It's not entirely clear. We've already had such extended detention, such indefinite detention, without, you know, and also remember, these are the exceptions still at Guantanamo Bay. The latest estimates have about 275 persons still being held there. So this is a tiny number of the total number of detainees, certainly who were held there over the course of time. But even right now, this is a tiny number. So it's not clear what would happen were they to be acquitted. I think that's very unlikely, as I think Donnie mentioned, that this seemed very likely to result in a finding of guilt. I believe he's right. But it certainly doesn't seem very plausible that the United States would be releasing them if they were acquitted at a trial.
This is Paul. Paul calling us from Syracuse, New York.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. My question goes to the time frame and how quickly this would work its way through the military court system or tribunal system, and if this isn't to be construed as a measure of cleaning house.
Perhaps let me put a more practical spin on that question, Paul. Is this going to be resolved in the life of the Bush administration?
That's what I'm asking.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a crystal ball that I can't see into, that you need to answer that question. But it seems very unlikely that that a trial this complex, capital trials are very complex, tremendous stress on the attorneys involved, on the finders of fact, on the military judges, and on this system that we have no practice. We have no, it's an entirely new system. We don't know how it's going to work out. I find it very unlikely that they could move as quickly through trial, that they would actually have a sentence and be able to complete the complex post-trial review, which is a part of this system too, quickly enough to be done before the Bush administration sunsets.
And what happens in the event that there's a guilty verdict or guilty verdicts, they can appeal to civilian courts?
Well, first there's a review by the convening authority. Then there's a review by the Court of Military Commission review court. And then there is appeal to the District of Columbia Court of Appeals. After that, there's a potential for review by the Supreme Court. But there are actually some complicating legal questions that are still out there, including whether detainees have access to the federal court's habeas corpus jurisdiction. And that's not been decided yet. It's before the Supreme Court right now. So there are a lot of competing legal issues that are being litigated right now that will complicate and will slow this process.
In the event that there's another president somewhere during this process, once started, can a new president say, hey, wait a minute, let's stop this right here?
Well, this is these proceedings are going forward under not a presidential order, which was the initial order that was overturned by the Supreme Court. That is, in November of 2001, President Bush issued an order to try unlawful combatants, these detainees, before a military commission. But that's not the system we have right now. This is following the statute passed by Congress after that Supreme Court decision that threw out those previous rules. So it would be trickier for the president to eliminate these.
Beth Hillman, thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Beth Hillman, visiting professor at the University of California Hastings College of the Law. She's a member of the board of directors at the National Institute for Military Justice and joined us today from member station KQED in San Francisco. Stay tuned for more news on this later today on NPR News. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.